Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on The Real Momentum.
Well, I think, you know, looking at the challenging thing is that a large generation of fathers have never been discipled themselves, and they're playing catch up. And so there's a, you know, ongoing issue. Even you see it in Malachi, the scripture says, I'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And that's always been God's design. And somehow, some way, we don't really realize the what we're doing. We separate the leadership of the father. Just ask the single mother out there trying to lead, raise her family that doesn't have a dad involved, doesn't have, doesn't have spiritual leadership. Who does she go to for wisdom and counsel? Who is she going to? What kind of direction is she getting? If she's not connected to a church, she's probably really struggling to get clarity on, how do I do this? And, and even the little boy or little girl that had that in his life, in their lives, how do they get direction? And even trying to lead a family and keeping with God's word is still very challenging, still difficult. The enemy is going to do what he can to separate us. And I can't imagine, trying to figure out how to do this, without God's help and insight from his word, and then have a wife to come along as a helpmeet, and we do it together as one. To me, that's what God's always wanted us to have. But this push towards the next generational pastor and all those things, if it doesn't include the father, I don't see how it's going to be kingdom impacting. And we see the stats. I mean, the number of kids that leave the church when they graduate high school are staggering. Yeah. It's because we haven't engaged the father. We have not really used the spiritual leader as the key leader of his children,
And those are church kids. We're not just talking about the occasional attender. Those are young men and young women who are attending, who come on a regular basis. And I'm just seeing this before my eyes. And Keith, we talked about this the other day on the phone, obviously the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will endure forever. He said that in Matthew. He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against, I'm going to build my church. But that doesn't mean some local churches, won't shut their doors. And I'm concerned about the lack of intentionality with men, especially. I mean, we are engaged in every worldly thing, but our children's hearts and our wife's hearts, and our children are going to follow that. I mean, you're the leader, good or bad, you're the leader, and our children are going to follow it. And the truth is, and I know you said this, Keith, when you taught on this subject, to be a good leader, you have to be a great follower as well. And so you're leading out of who you are. And so, we got to reach some men in this regard. I think you're right on the lack of discipleship, and men are catching up. And Justin said it, we're not going to use that as an excuse, right? I read this morning in Proverbs where it says, in Proverbs chapter 21, I'll just read it so I can get it right. But it talked about the Psalms. It's already past almost 10 o'clock. My brain's not working. But it said the horse is prepared for battle, but deliverance belongs to the Lord. And I was thinking about that, like, okay, let's do what we got to do, right? Start, men, just show up, to show up every day. But you commit that walk to the Lord, you commit your family to the Lord, you prepare your horse, but the battle belongs to the Lord. And that's what we've been talking about in Proverbs here, that his children are blessed after him. The faithful man, who can find a faithful man? But the righteous man walks in integrity, and his children are blessed after him.
I would just say, as you think about, with dads that are out there probably asking the question, how do I do this? How do I get started? Mm-hmm. I would say to you, man, number one, pray. Number two, ask God for clarity, ask him for courage, ask him for specific things that you could share. One would be your personal testimony with your own children. What are some of the favorite verses that you have? And, begin the conversation of spiritual things. And, what are the wins in your life? What are the losses in your life that they could just take and learn from? And then... were some areas of faith that stretched you that you saw God move and all those things. So I think part of that's just helping them see, you know, what is godliness and Christ-likeness look like. And if you're testifying and you're talking of these things, helping the children remember, like Psalm 78 teaches us, you know, God's been good to us. Here's how. And just lay it out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good. I mean, I'll add to that a little bit of the failures and shortcomings. I think men overcomplicate this. Just you're teaching out of your life as you go, that intentionality. You don't got to know the whole systematic theology book front and backwards, those type of things. But I apologize to no one more than I do my family. And I want them to see. So again, I read in Leviticus 6 this morning where the fire, when they were making sacrifices for sin, the fire, it says, will consistently burn continuously. And that's just this a reminder that the sin has to be dealt with. There's a sacrifice that has to be made. Blood has to be shed. But forgiveness is consistently offered. Just make the sacrifice, confess and repent. And that fire is a reminder. Smoke is always in the air. Blood was always in the streets in the Old Testament, that a redemption has been made. Forgiveness is available. And so just repent and ask the Lord to forgive, but repent to your family as well, I think. And so I like to remind men too that my kids know in the morning time, Dad's studying the Bible, and they just know where to find me if they need me. And to me, that was always something very encouraging growing up, where I knew my dad in the morning time, that was his time with the Lord. I knew he was in there praying and knew he was in there studying. And that just made an impact on me, that I want my children to know that dad spends time with the Lord. And I think that will greatly affect them one day.
Amen.
Let's talk about what loving and leading your children looks like. It does look like vision, having a vision for your family. You know, without vision, the people perish. And you said it multiple times, Keith, Satan has a better plan to reach men and reach families than we do. And make no mistake about this, he's after families, right? Right. This whole gender and marriage and culture stuff, Satan's after destroying the entire family. He really is. So let's look at the vision here. And we obviously live in a world that's instant gratification, and we can have those things at a touch of a finger. And that's something that's changed, right? Since we were growing up on the smartphones, the instant gratification, you can order anything you want, and it's there within that day. So how can fathers intentionally equip their children to really live with this kingdom mindset? And that means prioritizing God's will and his word and eternal values. And how can they live with that kingdom mindset in daily decisions, relationships, and aspirations?
I think it goes back to, you know, the Malachi passage. And I've thought about this, you know, trying to raise seven girls and seven boys, or shepherd seven girls and seven boys, and they're seven girls and four boys. They're all different, and you know, but at the same time, there's a manhood piece, there's a womanhood piece, and I think even there's been this attack within the last decade plus on just patriarchy itself. And being able to look at the Malachi passage as a, you know, and talking about a vision, a revelation from God's word, the one word that gets my attention is the word turn. And so when I began to pray through what this looks like for me to shepherd daughters, is different than raising, you know, sons. And so I just took the word, and I like acronyms because it helps me think and find direction. And I let the Lord just kind of determine what the words are. It could be different words for different seasons and where they are, but how can I, as a dad, turn to my daughter and shepherd her? Well, the first word is to be tender. I need to be tender toward them and not, you know, and I have a really hard time with this because if I'm not careful, I'm, you know, with the drive and passion, I could wound you rather than help you and trying to help her, trying to shepherd her. But if I'm not tender, I'm really going to have a hard time getting her trust. And then the U for turning is understanding, try to get with her. And, you know, the Bible teaches me to live with my wife in an understanding way. Well, if that's true, it's probably going to be true with my daughters. And then try to build a relationship with her, an ongoing relationship. And, you know, every one of them are different. So you got to find the different things, you know, like a coach would for a player, what's going to help them come alive as an athlete on a football field or a baseball field or even a basketball court, but you know, the relationships, what is it that I, that really helps me minister to them and serve them? And then I think, you know, the last letter for a daughter would be just to, you know, the letter N is to notice her. If I don't notice her as her father, I think she's probably going to try to find a way to be noticed by somebody else. Yeah. So I think she needs my attention and my awareness. And so shepherding to me, daughters, is pretty big. And I can go through the sons later here in the conversation. But raising sons different. I think part of that's just different. And there might be some boys out there that need dads to turn toward them. And we can talk about that. But if you want to add some commentary to what I've just shared, or maybe some thoughts you and Justin might have about, you know, daughters. We all have daughters on this, you know, podcast here. Maybe there's some dads out there. Maybe some of your experience with your own daughters can be helpful.
Yeah, that's good. I wrote that acronym down. I appreciate you sharing that, because it is true. Having boys versus daughters is completely different. I think the Bible even speaks differently to men than it does to women. And I think Jesus had a great model of this and how he spoke to men, especially. He was tender and tough all at the same time. And, you know, how does, there's sometimes where my boys just need a, hey, this is in love, but it's more tough. It's, you know, it's more serious type thing. And then I know the way, you know, you quoted the verse, Justin, about training up a child in the way that they should go. And a lot of people say that's according to their bent. They're bent differently. I have twin boys, and I can tell you they're completely opposite in what they're interested in and what drives and motivates them. But I know, like, my daughter, if I'm not careful, if I'm not tender to her in certain moments, it hurts her feelings more when I'm that way than when my wife is that way for some reason. If Molly has a stern word for her, that goes differently when I do it. I mean, she'll go in her room and cry if I'm not careful with that. And so, but I think you're right. Our children are going to get answers about sexuality, about masculinity, about worldliness from somewhere. It used to be, I don't know if you guys have a direct, statistic on this, but there was a questionnaire years ago that what's the top influences in your life, and a youth would say back in the day it was like parents, spiritual leaders, and friends, and I want to say parents and spiritual leaders fell way down the list, and friends are kind of at the top now. And so our children, our daughters, are getting that attention somewhere else. I like with my daughter, I still put her to bed every night. I still pray with my boys and send them to the room, but I don't go upstairs and lay in their bed anymore like I used to. But with my daughter, every night, pray with her, you know, give her a kiss on the forehead. And I think that appropriate, godly, physical interactions with her is going to be healthy one day. Because if not, I mean, some men's daughters are going to get that physical love and touch from another boy that's going to lie to her, right? So, yeah.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you, we want to connect with you. We want to hear about your real momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ.
You've been listening to Real Momentum, a co-production between Real Momentum and TIL Radio Network.